I really appreciate your effort to get here on time. If not, we're going to have to meet during the evenings, and I hate to do that just because our time is precious this year since we have a short session. So members would like to ask that you please, even if you have to eat here, if you come so that we can establish quorum and we can begin our hearings. Members, in the agenda, we have two bills today. The first one is Senate File 2055, and Senator Sieben is the author. She's here with her testifiers. Welcome to the committee, Senator Sieben. Members, there is a change to the agenda. Senator Sieben was going to present Senate File 1835, but her testifiers were not here, so we're going to try to move that to later on and have so we're going to have a short hearing today as a result of that. She's going to present Senate File 2055. I believe that 1835 will be postponed until March 11. So welcome, Senator Sieben.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, the bill that's before us today establishes a date for the report required for the Department of Education to do an assessment or a report on the early learning scholarship program. And the bill that's before you, as you'll see, that report is already required in state law. What we are doing is inserting a date. I also have a amendment to the bill that I would like to I believe that members have it now.
Yes, Senator. We have the amendment in front of us is the A2 amendment. And Senator Sieben, they prepared the amendment for her, but it was missing a couple of words. So we're going to adopt this amendment, and then she's going to move an oral amendment for a couple of words that are missing from her amendment. So if someone could move the A2 amendment on her behalf, I'd appreciate it. Senator Wigger moves the A2 amendment. Senator Sieben, if you could speak to the amendment, please.
Sure. Madam Chair and members in the three words that are missing on the A2 amendment that I would like someone to move to get the bill in the shape I would like would be the new language before the word by, insert, and student outcomes. So, members, the sentence would read, the new sentence as amended would read, it would begin on line 1.9 of the bill. The evaluation must include recommendations regarding the appropriate scholarship amount, efficiency, and effectiveness of the administration, and impact on kindergarten readiness and student outcomes by program setting, including Head Start programs, school-based kindergarten and preschool programs, and other child care programs.
Okay, members, do you need do you have questions about that particular amendment?
It
will include a verbal amendment that will incorporate before the word by student outcomes. So it will read student outcomes by program setting, including Head Start programs, school-based pre-kindergarten and preschool programs, etc. Any questions? Those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The amendment is adopted. Senator Sieben, any questions about the establishment of the date and the language of the amendment? Any questions related to Senate 2055? Senator Sieben, I don't know if you have people who are ready to answer questions, or would you like to offer some testimony?
Madam Chair, there perhaps we could hear from the testifiers, but Nancy Hyland from Mini Minds just had an additional suggestion to the language that we just passed, which would be, and I'll say what she suggested for your consideration. After the word on line 1.3 of the amendment, she suggests that it should say, after the second comma, and other early education and child care programs. So you would insert the words early education and after the word other.
So moved.
Senator Wigger moves early childhood education, that we insert early childhood education right before and. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no.
We'll fix it.
Amendment is adopted. Members, do you feel like we need to read the entire amendment, or are you comfortable with
just read it.
These are okay. People are okay with that. Okay, I want to make sure that
Chair,
you.
I would like you to read.
You want us to read?
I'm
going to ask our staff to please help us.
Sure. Madam Chair, members, going to the amendment, the insertion would read, and student outcomes by program setting, including Head Start programs, school-based pre-kindergarten and preschool programs, early education, and other child care programs.
Education.
Senator Stephen, would you?
Nancy Hyland would like to make a comment on that, Madam
Ms.
Chair.
Ms. Hilden, please, welcome to the committee. If you could introduce yourself and
yes,
let
hi.
Us know.
Yes, hi. Madam Chair, Nancy Hilden, and here today on behalf of the Many Minds Coalition. The suggestion would be, and this is because of the taxonomy of early education providers and what they call themselves. So inserting after the word other at the end of line 1.3.
Right.
So inserting other, so it reads, and other early education and child care programs.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Thank you, Ms. Hilde. Ms. Butler, could you read it again for us just to make sure that members have the correct language?
Madam Chair, members, the insertion would read, and student outcomes by program setting, including Head Start programs, school-based pre-kindergarten and preschool programs, and other early education and child care programs.
Any questions, members? Are you okay with that? Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Hilden. Senator Stevens, any additional?
Madam Chair, perhaps we could move to the testifiers. There are four people that would like to testify to the language.
Do we have a brief statements from the testifiers? I would like to ask that we could be brief on this. It's just a change on date, so I think it will be fine. Please proceed. Yes, Senator Clausen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a question. Was this an omission last year when this bill was passed, that there just was no date given about an evaluation? Is that the history behind it?
Madam Chair,
Senator
Clausen, I believe that's correct, that there was not a date. And my interest in introducing this legislation was just as we think about how the state is now investing significant amounts of resources into these programs, we want to have some measure to measure their effectiveness and efficiency and the student outcome data. That's why I think this amended language is good, just so that we can, as a legislature, evaluate how those dollars are being spent.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Go ahead, Senator Stephen. Let us know who will be testifying.
Sure.
Welcome back to the committee. You could just introduce yourself again for the tape.
Madam Chair, Nancy Hilden again here on behalf of Many Minds. And as you may recall, there was quite a bit of discussion around how the state could take the next steps in what we already know was working so well with the federal Race to the Top Challenge early learning grants, which have been evaluated. And, of course, we all know that there's been a ton of evaluation done around the fact that early intervention with high-risk children makes a very impactful difference in where they land in life. And so before you, the amendment written to include a more detailed and specific report date is fantastic. The state scholarships are brand new. So we've had a lot of work done and evaluation done, and we know the scholarship model works. But every time you implement something new, there's little tweaks and things you got to keep focusing on. And I would just say that it's fantastic, too, that we add in this language talking about Head Start and specifying school-based kindergarten and preschool. And for me, I've learned a lot in just doing this work because each one of these models serves some kids really well, and none of them serves all kids really well. So a school-based model works fantastically for kids that can need just a part-time care and maybe have a part-time working parent or something like that. Doesn't work for a mentally ill mother with two children who has kids that need all day, every day. That model doesn't work. But the more we can know what's working, how we can make it better, all the better. I hope that we can continue to do this type of evaluation annually and make it serve as something very positive to help guide and improve what we know is working. So thank you, Senator Sieben, for bringing this forward.
Thank you.
Next testifier, Madam Chair, is Erica Moss.
Thank you. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Erica Moss. I'm the Executive Director of Parent Aware for School Readiness. We're the successor organization to the Minnesota Early Learning Foundation, or MELF, an organization which I know many committee members supported, and I thank you for that support. I'm here today to testify in support of this bill and to thank Senator Sieben for offering it. During the course of the $20 million private investment that MELF made in piloting the scholarships and the Parent Aware ratings, they spent fully $4 million on research and evaluation. Holding as a core value of those programs that they were meant to be responsive to and to continuously improve over time in response to research and evaluation. So I'm happy that the research and evaluation can continue as the program scales statewide. This kind of objective evaluation is great, and Senator Sieben is bringing an added element of transparency of the evaluation findings, and I think that that's great too. We should all be understanding what's happening and working together to make sure that that program delivers the kinds of student outcomes that we all want to, that we all value and are the purpose of the program. And I'd like to also just say that the amendment language calling out, looking at outcomes, student outcomes by specific provider types is also something that we support. My organization are investing about $250,000 a year in an evaluation of the Parent Aware rating system. And in that evaluation, we're also looking across the different provider types at child outcomes so that we can understand and be sure that the system is calibrated, as I said, to deliver on our ultimate objective, which is improved school readiness for Minnesota's children. So thank you.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, the next testifier is Steve Kerr from Anoka-Hennepin School District. And then also Jim Grothwell from Minneapolis Public Schools would like to testify as well.
Thank you, Senator. Welcome to the committee.
Madam Chair, Steve Kerr, Community Education Director, Government Relations for the Anoka-Hennepin School District. I think from our perspective, we certainly would support an evaluation of the scholarship model. I think as recommendations to you as a committee, I might suggest I'm at least hearing some conversations that it's scholarships or nothing. And I have a concern for that because scholarships serve some children, not all families, and not all the families that we're seeing in the Anoka-Hennepin School District. We clearly have some problems with the current system. I'll give you an example of some of the things that our parents have experienced. They have to fill out a 9-page application. These are families that may be in poverty, speak a different language, and fill those out and turn those back in. We then have to work with a vendor that the state has hired to get this application approved. And if there is information missing, such as a phone number, a middle initial, the applications come back to us, and we have to then go pursue those families again to get those that information to get them in for the scholarships. I would say in the Anoka-Hennepin School District, and I don't, at least what I'm hearing from my colleagues is not uncommon. We received our first check the third week in February. As you know, school districts at this point, we've lost a great deal of time in serving these families in the course of the year. So I think our message would be, while we know it's a new process, we know there's some things about it that need to be worked out, we think there are more direct ways for the funding to flow to school districts and work with our children. Clearly, as school districts, we know how to track children, and we also know how to be accountable for our resources in our resources are subject to public audit on an annual basis. So some of what we're experiencing is some real redundancies in working with families one, two, three, four, five times to get them served, and some real slow processes for having cash flow come into school districts. As you know, school districts are a little risk adverse. So having cash flow not coming till the end of February means students that we had intended to serve through enhanced educational opportunities didn't get them. And so those are some problems that we would like to see. Clearly, we would like to have evaluation of programs, and I think you have a document in front of you that gives you an example of what we do in the Anoka-Hennepin School District and how we evaluate students, and also some success we've had around closing the achievement gap with children and having them ready for kindergarten. With that, I would stand for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Kerr. Mr. Grahwill, please introduce yourself and begin your testimony.
Madam Chair and members, my name is Jim Grathwell. I'm the lobbyist for the Minneapolis Public Schools, and I'm before you in support of the bill, and I want to thank the senator for bringing it forward. We've supported this Mini Minds campaigns and the implementation and the appropriations you made last year. We appreciate the opportunity to talk to you a little bit about how that's going, and I want to give Ms. Hilden credit for working. We worked very closely with Ms. Hilden last year on language that didn't wind up included in the final bill about how to make the Pathway 2 piece work better for school districts. Absent, and, you know, when the final bill was adopted, some of that language was left on the editing room floor in our post-Oscar glow here. So, you know, we could look back at that language. But the point is, this model is... isn't that effective or efficient for school districts in terms of implementation? And let me and the Department of Education has worked like heroes. I think the Mini Minds Coalition has worked like heroes. We've worked like heroes on trying to get our allocation of 124 scholarships. We have a four-year-old kindergarten program that has 1,000 students in it, a waiting list of 600, and we've been combing through that waiting list, bringing a nine-page application that's in English only, as Mr. Kerr has reported earlier. And when we come to, you know, it's not like you can just make one phone call. You do a home visit and several home visits, and when we make those home visits, it's not like our families have a greet us at the door saying, oh, it, great, it's the scholarship people, they're here. Bring out the shoebox full of tax receipts. And, you know, we're working with families that haven't prepared their taxes. They haven't known they're ready. It's that time to do it. So anyway, that's, I think there's room for improvement how we implement this. I think Ms. Hilden has come up with some good ideas about that. The I think there's room for many more back office solutions. We know that our kids are free and reduced lunch eligible. We know that they're MA eligible. We know that they're MCHA eligible. We know that they're CHIP. I'm sure there's a couple other acronyms I could fling out, but other income qualified programs that if we know these students are eligible for those programs, this would be a great way to just, you know, put a star on them and qualify them for the program. We want to avoid a process, which I think we've all fallen down, of creating another silo, another set of forms, another set of hoops to go through. And Mr. Kerr also raised, and we kind of are enjoying being Anoka-Hennepin in Minneapolis testifying on this as a sidebar. There's a 400-meter race is won by running the race and passing the baton effectively four times and not dropping it. We've set up a process where there's just way too many ways to drop the baton. Oh, we sent in the originals. You sent in, this happened to Minneapolis Public Schools, we sent in the original copies of the completed applications. MDE only wanted the copies. I understand that. I never gave my boss the original. You know, you keep on to that. So they had to send that back to us. Paper copy had to be sent back. You know, and we're living in the 21st century. There's this thing called the interweb, and we should be able to, you know, email things or, like, have databases communicate with each other. The process we have dries up administrative costs. The way we operate our four-year-old program is we use Title I money. It's not state aid. It's Title I money primarily. We fund programs. We're making those budgets right now. It's very efficient. I think this process gives you higher administrative costs and is less efficient, and we've, working very hard with every will, had a difficult time fulfilling our allocation of 124 scholarships, which we know we have a need for. So With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. We support, thank the Senator for bringing the bill forward, support the bill, and would look forward to working towards creating a more efficient process for all our students. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Grathwell. Any questions for the testifiers, members? Senator Johnson.
Madam Chair, and looking at this brochure from Anoka Hennepin, and I have seen this before, and I just want to call attention to the graph and the centerfold, the changes in achievement is so just phenomenal. And I wonder if you can tell me two things. First of all, what do you think? Was it just that simple, just to bring them in for an extra few hours of school, or what was it? And how were you able to measure that?
Madam Chair, Senator Johnson, clearly it's not as easy as just bringing them in. The program that we have now has gone through many years of process. We use licensed staff, so you're high-quality staff. We've worked hard, particularly hard in the last year and a half, to align the curriculum between our preschool programs and our K-12 programs. A key element of that, which I would share as a policy consideration for this group, is you need to have a definition of what kindergarten ready means. We don't have a state definition. So in Anoka Hennepin, we created a district definition of what kindergarten ready means. And the reason you do that is so that you as legislators can hold us accountable as systems. We as systems can work with our teaching staff to train them to the level that they can deliver that readiness. And then for us, as a public entity, communicating with our parents what the expectations are now for students to be successful. I gave Senator Wieger a copy of what we use in our school district based on his request. But that's kind of a key grounding. I'll give you a brief story offline. Is one of the things we ran into as we talked about coordinating between the preschool and the K-12 program is that we found out we had a higher exit standard in our pre-K program for math than K-12 had for their kindergarten exit standard. So the importance of alignment internally and processes for budget, staffing, staff development, curriculum are all critical elements that you have to have in place. Obviously, in this case, we're trying to reach at-risk children and at-risk families. So some of that gets to be you have to have some very aggressive outreach strategies. I literally have had staff who've worn out tennis shoes walking to homes where they saw children's toys outside, and they're knocking on the door, have you heard about this? So we do those kinds of things to get those families there. We do home visiting so that we can engage the parents and the families as partners in the educational process. We carry on ongoing communication throughout the year. We use a product called Teaching Strategies Gold to do assessments with our students. As you can see, we do it several times a year. We've given you a fall and a spring, kind of a snapshot of what our students are doing. But that isn't abnormal. What do you do with the data? I'll give you another piece. If you look at refer to the math bar on the sheet, you'll see that our kids were coming in with only 7% of the kids that were kindergarten ready in math. And clearly you're aware of some of the math struggles we've had in the state of Minnesota. So one of the things we had to do is ramp up our math instruction. And the other pieces with that that we found is, well, parents are more comfortable teaching their children about reading and speech and those kinds of things, and less comfortable about math. So some of the things we did is we created some video sets for parents that they can go online and do those kinds of things and support their child at home, just simple things that parents can do at home. So it's a long answer, Senator Johnson, because it's a lot of things. It's a lot of things to do that. And especially reaching our at-risk population, a critical element for us was providing transportation. Otherwise, we didn't get the persistence. We tried it because we didn't have a lot of money. We tried it without transportation, and we didn't get the persistence from the families to attend. When we brought the transportation into the picture, families attended. We got the scores and the changes in the scores to go along with positive, solid instruction. So it's a lot of things all focused on one thing, which is to have our children achieve and close that achievement gap and have them, our goal with our pre-K program is have them kindergarten ready.
Thank you.
Phenomenal.
Mr. Kerr, as you talk about what you're doing, what I'm learning, and I learned last year and continue to learn, is that the state of Minnesota, because of kind of the high value that we place on local autonomy and direction has developed these amazing practices at the local level that are not reflected in policy.
Yes.
And I recently received a report that places Minnesota at the very bottom in teaching induction. And when I made a statement about Minnesota not having policy, the districts came to me and say, let me show you what we do. And I found out that we actually have some outstanding practices in some of the districts mm-hmm. that they are doing on their own with their own resources. And I find that on almost every issue, that the measures that the national studies put together are really based on statewide practices that are actually articulated in policy, but they don't reflect the practice.
Yep.
So I am hoping that members really learn from this experience right now that you are articulating about your own system and your own practices and how you find, you know, even definitions that you have adopted that should be in policy and will be very helpful to all of the districts that we don't currently have. So I'm going to all of these to say, members, that I would welcome your feedback and input from your own districts to really guide us in a process of figuring out how do we do this better? How do we showcase and promote best practices based on practices that we already know are working at the local level and unfortunately are not recognized. And many times other districts have to reinvent the wheel to kind of do the same thing. So it's something that is worth thinking about. So thank you for coming to present what you're doing because it's of tremendous value. Ms. Hilding, you have something you want to say. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Nancy Hilding. This is really helpful to hear this discussion, and I want to close by adding one thought for you to keep in mind. So this evaluation is absolutely critical because of what you hear from one type of provider, so the school providers. You're hearing that there's troubles in the process to get the scholarships out. But in addition to hearing what that process is like, what an evaluation like this can do year to year is let the other types of providers, who some of them are, you know, CCAP largely funded, so not even in the purview of the education committee, but it can commingle the good work that the schools are doing and create the learning over on the other side of these provider groups that are now maybe doing other things. And vice versa, because there's some things that schools can also learn from and benefit from. So in the end, you're doing something very new here. It's not even been a year that the state has been doing this. And we do have to continually make this better. But these scholarships are helping kids who, there's tens of thousands of kids who are not getting the early ed prep that they need, whether it's through schools or any other model. So please take this as a path to help us get there, but we also need to help the rest of the kids get on that path. They're not on the path right now. So thank you for that.
Thank you
for indulging.
Any other questions from members? If not, Senator Wigger moves that we recommend Senate File 2055 for possible inclusion in the education omnibus bill. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed say no. The motion is adopted. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Madam Chair, committee members.
Senator Wigger, we have Senate File 1797, Education Partnerships and Report Requirements.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I do have the A1 amendment and would like to offer that to put it in the shape.
Members, do you have the A1 amendment? I think we have it.
If it's before you, I would move the A1 amendment.
Okay, the author moves the A1 amendment. All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed say no. The amendment is adopted. Senator Wigger.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, the P20 Education Partnership is a group that was formally authorized by the legislature in 2009. And the bill before us would add an additional item for a report that would come to us. The heart of what the P20 partnership is about, is to look at a seamless process of education going through early education, K-12, to post-secondary. And if I can refer to the statute, which you do have in front of you, and it's also restated in the amendment, the partnership is established to create a seamless system of education that maximizes achievements of all students from early childhood through elementary, secondary, and post-secondary education, while promoting the efficient use of financial and human resources. Further, it gets into duties that are expected, or that they can provide a report on. And you'll see, for example, in Subdivision 2 of the law, reference to improving the quality and access to education at all points from preschool through graduate education. Also, the P20 partnership has direction overall for the state's longitudinal education data, the SLEDs, something that we nearly put $1 million into in the previous session, collecting data so that we can get more informed decisions on the investment. This is the largest chunk of our state budget, as you know, the investment in education, and we're trying to get as good of information as we can on that journey. This has been delegated through the P20 partnership. And again, a key message here is efficient use of resources. So in Senate File 1797, it's one sentence, and it adds, for the P20 partnership to look at realigning the governance and administrative structures of early education, kindergarten through 12, and post-secondary systems in Minnesota. This is not a mandate to reorganize those systems. It's a request to look at the efficiencies of those structures, or to at least have a discussion about it. In the previous bill by Senator Sieben, talking about the importance of evaluation, and I know we all agree about the importance of it. And that's why I have this bill, is to look more at governance issues. I'll give an example. I think there's much more we can do in early learning in terms of potential bridging with K-12, in terms of just the silos that exist right now in early education. I'm not going to be so prescriptive as to mandate a possibility, though we do have bills in a bipartisan manner that would take us there. I think we should look at the whole system, just as we have in the statute, at the seamless educational delivery, and to see what possibly might be a more efficient structure. Arguably, this group, the P20 partnership, they could do that now if they wanted, but this is some legislative suggestion that they do it. I want to again compliment this partnership. Includes so many of the key stakeholders in our state, Minnesota Department of Education with representation, the Minnesota Business Partnership, the University of Minnesota, MinSCU, Ed Minnesota, private college interests, private school interests, the early childhood is a recent add-on over the past couple of years. 40 years of discussion here in legislature, now early ed is involved in the discussion in terms of a systems approach, and I believe we're going that direction. And we need not necessarily wait 20 or 30 years more to think about some administrative efficiencies. So that's the highlight of the bill. One sentence for this group to look at that. We certainly can multitask and have some interim discussions on this subject, and that could well be the case, but perhaps a group like this could be of great help. I also want to add that the Education Commission of States, which formerly the president of that group was Governor Pawlenty, who I believe signed the bill that we have for the P20 partnership, previously the P16. And Commissioner Segrin, former commissioner, was very active in this Education Commission of States. They are willing to help if there's a resource consideration in terms of what other states are looking at, possibilities in a nonpartisan, objective, factual way to look at possible options. Because I do know that members of the partnership organizations, it's done on a voluntary basis, but there could be some assistance by the Education Commission of States. They emailed that to me yesterday, and I'm one of the members that serves on that committee, replacing Senator Jen Olson when she retired. So that's the overview, and I would stand for questions. I believe Ms. Kelleher from the School Boards Association had some comments as well, but I didn't ask for anyone to come in behalf of the bill. I put it together.
Thank you, Senator Wigger. Any questions for the author? Okay. Senator, Ms. Kelleher, if you could...
from the FCCLA.
Welcome to the committee. If you could please introduce yourself and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Madam Chairman and members. My name is Grace Kelleher, and I represent the Minnesota School Boards Association. We represent every school district in the state of Minnesota, and I'm happy to be with you today. I want to thank Senator Wigger. He is always a wonderful author and is always willing to work with folks and concerns. Our concerns stem from we were one of the original founding members of the P16 back in 2003 when it was just five organizations, Education Minnesota, the Superintendents Association, the school boards, the Chancellor of Minsky, and the President of the University. The goal of that group was basically to cut through any kind of red tape and noise out there and focus on what will most help kids. Throughout the years, we have really been flexible in trying to meet that need. We did some work on the science standards, if you can go back to that point. We brought in university professors who were experts in their field, as well as science teachers, and did a report on that. We worked very closely with the SLEDS program. There was some real difficulty in getting school districts and colleges, private schools to sign off on the report that they could participate in this. I have been to probably just about every one of these meetings, and the group has grown over the years substantially to the point where probably 60% of the group is higher education folks. And there are probably five K-12 people on the group and probably four early education folks. And though I think the bill has improved significantly with the amendment, I am very concerned that there are no state dollars being funded for this group. They are all our volunteers. We've all donated our time in the interest of kids going forward. The law was originally developed in 2007 to make it clear what legislators would be appointed to this. And that was an argument we had on the group. Do we actually start to come in to legislative authority by doing that? It was really expanded in 2013. And actually, to be honest, I don't think the group has wrestled with the new charges. It really takes away from, I think, part of what made it a great group was that the key goal was to get things done for kids, and I think we really moved the dime. If, in fact, you're concerned that this group is not functioning in the way you'd like it to see, I really recommend you put together a new group of folks who really you get the adequate number of people who represent where you want to go, and that's a higher ed K-12 preschool balance. Mostly when they're wrestling with topics that are this important and key. So with that, Madam Chairman, I'll end my testimony and be happy to take questions.
Thank you, Ms. Kelleher. So let me understand. Is your concern not having the resources, or is your concern the composition?
Madam Chairman and members, I believe it's actually both. The composition of this group has changed. I really encourage you to get a list of who is presently on this committee, and these are volunteers. And I think to give them some of these really big tasks is asking a volunteer an awful lot. And they're sensitive topics. And especially if you're going to have a legislative report that you're really going to base some legislation off of, I think you want a strong foundation. And to be honest, the P20 wasn't asked if they really wanted to participate in this. It was thrown out in the last meeting, and nobody said anything. So I really understand where Senator Wieger is, and I think I feel it's a really important place to go. But I suggest, if you really want to move the dime on this, to have a group of your choosing to forward those ideas and let the P20 continue to pivot, find itself, and hopefully come back as a vital organization that you will be able to take input from.
Thank you.
Yes, Keller.
Any questions from the members? Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, I can't really comment on the makeup of the group, but I do want to give just one concrete example of why I think something like this could have great value. And it also, it's just a little advocacy plug for a bill that Senator Torres-Ray and I have moved last year and made great progress, but didn't quite make it out of conference committee. And that has to do with the fact that we spend over $200 million on child care assistance. Now, you might not know that in this committee because that's funded through the Health and Human Services Policy Committee, and that's called the CCAP dollars, Child Care Assistance Program dollars. And the interesting thing about those dollars that subsidize child care, they are not tied to quality at all. And so it's those very same kids that we're working with in this this committee right here. We want to work with high-quality preschool scholarships and make sure that kids are able to get that high-quality child care. And a lot of times it's those very same kids that we're talking about. And so it's essential, I think, that Minnesota put a flag out that says Minnesota is moving towards quality. And we are going to require that CCAP dollars be used in child care that helps prepare kids for kindergarten. And we know there has to be a ramp-up time, so I won't go into all the details of the bill, but we know that there needs to be exceptions as well, especially in rural areas. But I would say that the reason I think that perhaps this hasn't been done earlier or why it's been a bit more difficult is because we have these separate silos, and yet we're talking about the very same children and the very same need, which is to make sure that they enter kindergarten ready to learn. So I just throw that out there as an example as to why some realignment, I think, of our initiatives could be very helpful.
Thank you, Senator. I totally appreciate that, and I'm not giving up on that idea. I think we're going to bring it back because I agree with you. I think that what the fragmentation does is it just doesn't allow an opportunity even for us to really put our hands around, you know, these programs and be more creative, more inventive, more supportive, because we don't know. I am going to bring before you, members, a major reform on English language proficiency for English language learners. And our bill is 41 pages. And it's not because the policy that I'm including is 41 pages, is because it is so all over the place that I have to include chapters into everything in order to address one word, three words here, because it's just so much. So we, you know, doing common sense approaches become so overwhelming in education policy. So I agree this creates an opportunity for us to really look at how do we do more comprehensive reviews and create systems that are, you know, really easier to review and really provide support to, because we know how they function and where they are. Any other questions, members? If
Madam
not,
Chair,
Senator Wieger,
I don't want to potentially talk myself out of a sale here, but I wanted to point out that Ms. Kelleher is right in terms of the expansion of the partnership. and bringing in early education and other groups that wanted to be a part of it and rural and various interests. But that core group had to approve that on a two-thirds vote. Mm-hmm. And so it wasn't legislatively prescribed. It was up to that core group in terms of the expansion. It was legislatively authorized and signed by Governor Pawlenty, and with when we put this in with the idea of increasing that partnership. Admittedly, it did not have an appropriation, but there's been a great deal of leadership by the respective organizations that have chaired this. It usually rotates amongst the university, MNSCU, and the MDE, and the respective leaders have done a great job. That said, we do have a statutory charge. We do invest a great deal of money in each of these areas, and more recently in terms of the longitudinal data, the partnership is mentioned and overseen that for SLEDs. And so $1 million through the P20 partnership to the SLEDs, and we need to recognize that we are involved in this already. So, and finally, I want to mention again the Education Commission of States, which has a laser focus on this, which has a lot of information on P20-type partnerships across the country. They're very willing to be of assistance on this. There was a request by Senator Bonhoeff to hear this as well with the linkage. We've talked about early education, but the obvious linkage with higher education, as stated in the original legislation and reaffirmed over the past few years. So they would like to consider this as well, and then I believe it would return back if it continued.
Thank you, Senator. I do want to mention, Senator Wigger, of course we can't, we don't have the jurisdiction you do in education finance with respect to the resources. One thing that I hear often in the community is that when we work with volunteers, there are groups and there are individuals who cannot afford to participate, who have to take time off, who need to travel if we want to have representation from people outside of the metropolitan area, for whom volunteering becomes simply an impossibility. So I want us to take a look at that, because if we truly want representation, from diverse communities that include people who do not live near, the places where we conduct the meetings, for instance, that we do recognize that they need to be reimbursed for their time and their, transportation, and some of the, if they meet during the week, these individuals, many individuals are not really allowed to. They have to take time off from work. So just as a point of information, I want you to know that many people have come to me specifically to say that many times we don't see the diversity that we need to see in these particular groups because they cannot afford to be part of it.
Madam Chair, closing statement. I was inspired, actually, by an email that Ms. Kelleher sent me at the tagline at the end, and I would close. You can't create the future by hanging on to the past.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Thank you. Thank you, Senator Wigger. So, any questions, members? Senator Wigger, any comments? If not, Senator Wigger moves that Senate File 1797 be recommended to pass as amended and be referred to the Higher Education Committee.
Yes.
All of those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed say no.
Thank you.
Bill is passed. Thank you, Senator Wigger. Members, wanted to introduce a student who is here with us, who has been following me today, shadowing me, and she is a young student, Courtney Manson. She is from the Minnesota Family Career and Community Leaders of America, an organization that has been working with youth since 1946. And I am so happy that she's here with us. She's from Tyler, Minnesota. So here she is. Would you like to say something to the members? Yes. Yes. come in here. Give us...
Boss.
Let people know who you are and why are you doing this?
Well, like she said, my name is Courtney Menson. I'm from the southwest corner of Minnesota. I am here representing FCCLA with, among the other Red Jackets in this room. I am the state representative to our board of directors, and I will finish up my term in April. This is my first year shadowing here at the Capitol, and so far it's been a pretty good experience.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you. We're very happy that you're here. I don't know if you have any questions for our student. All right, Senator.
Well, yes, thank you. Ma'am Chair, and thank you for being here. What's your career goal then?
I plan to go to college next year to be an English teacher.
Good. We need teachers. I am so happy to hear. We hear that people don't want to pursue the teaching profession anymore. So this is wonderful that you are
thank
doing
you.
That. We need more teachers. Madam Chair?
Yes, Senator Nelson. Could we have the other students also stand and identify themselves so we could recognize them, please?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Good idea, Senator Nelson. Yeah, why don't you come to the table and introduce yourselves? Thank you for spotting them, Senator.
Oh, okay. Good.
Welcome to the Education Policy Committee, and please go ahead and introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about you.
Well, thank you. My name is Rick Osborne, and I'm from Spring Lake Park High School. I'm a junior there. I'm today shadowing Senator Sean Nenow. This is my second year. I've previously shadowed Alice Johnson. And I'm also a state officer like Courtney. I'm the Vice President of Resource and Development. And this is my third year being a part of FCCLA. And my future goals is going to go into political science and government once I graduate.
Fantastic. Okay. I hope you become an intern with us.
He'll be a legislator.
My name is Nellie Branchaud, and I'm from Lake Park Audubon, and I'm a senior this year, and I'm shadowing Senator Chuck Wieger. Wieger. And I've been involved in FCCLA since eighth grade, and my future career goals are to become a nurse and attend NDSU.
Fantastic. Thank you.
I'm Angela Torkla, and I'm shadowing Kevin Dahl today. And I've been shadowing, this is my second year to shadow, and I've been in FCCLA 4 years. And I'm not really sure what I want to go to when I'm older, because I'm a sophomore this year.
Good. Well, thank you for coming today, and we look forward to... Okay, we have another student. All right. In the chair, and introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Kate Schumann, and I'm a 10th grader at Litchfield High School, and this is my fourth year of FCCLA.
Fantastic. Thank you. Thank you for coming. And who are you shadowing?
I'm shadowing David Thompson.
Okay, fantastic. That's it.
Senator Nelson.
Come on in.
You're on TV.
Do we have another student behind the column? We cannot see you behind there.
Okay. They snuck out. We do have other shadowing as well, so we want to recognize.
Yeah, I'm sure we have many students. Well, senators, have fun with these students. I went to my district yesterday, and out of that meeting in Richfield that has three student representatives came a brilliant idea for a bill that I'm drafting right now, and you will see it very soon about PSEO. So it's I think it's fantastic to have the opportunity to interact with these students who really have very strong voices and come here to tell us, you know, really what's going on. Welcome to the committee. We would love to hear your name and tell us who are you shadowing.
All right. I'm Cody Bendixson. I'm the Region 1 President for the Family, Career, and Community Leaders of America, and I'm going to be shadowing Senator Senjum today. And actually, I would like to have a future in politics. I love it. It's something that I want to spend the rest of my life doing.
That's exciting. We are happy that you're here. So this is the start. Let's just be put that on the record. Thank you very much. Thank you, Senator Nelson. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
I think we already adjourned, didn't we? I don't remember.
No.
But with this, we conclude the meeting and we will adjourn.